I understand that Pastor Harley has chosen the theme thankful. And he begins the year by telling us we have a thankful year, right? Last week, we heard from Pastor Stephen Low. He shared about thankfulness, a lot of testimonies in the mission field. Saying thank you is very easy. Really, saying thank you is very easy. Because even non-Christians say thank you. So this morning, I was buying coffee at Yakon. Regular means I don't have to queue. So right at the door, the coffee is there, I pick it up. I don't own Yakon. But because of building relationship with the years around with different people serving coffee. And this lady is she's about in her 60s. She keeps saying thank you, 4 times just to buy a cup of coffee, and the money doesn't go to her. So I realized saying thank you is very easy. But being thankful seems to be harder. And even harder, the benchmark gets higher as you grow as a Christian, because the Bible says you must be thankful in all circumstances at all times. Is it easy? Is it attainable? Then you say not attainable, the Bible must be joking, right? Can't be. So I was thinking, what is this thankfulness? That's why I need you to think with me. How do we be thankful in all circumstances and under all situations and yet be truthful? Truthful means the thank you has to be genuine. The thankfulness is not because I come to church, I need to bootlick somebody, so thank you all the way from the door. And then when we move out, somebody says something and we are done. Let's say you wake up this morning and spend a bit of time putting on your makeup or comb your hair. And then you say to yourself, you're very happy today because it's Sunday, and you sing this song, Sunday school song. It says, I thank you, Jesus, for making me me. For you gave me a heart, you gave me a smile, and you gave me Jesus, and you make me your child. And before you finish, somebody knocked you on your back. Hey, you toad, move aside. And then your smile disappeared. When did I become a toad? Then you say, never mind. I remember I'm a child of God. I am still loved by God, irregardless of what people say, right? Then you walk to church, and somebody at the door says to you, hey, Joanna. Sorry, I know her. That's why I dare to call her name, okay? You suck. That's what it sounds like, Kenneth. You suck today. Then you felt, why is my friend saying this to me? And then you find that you diminish again. And then you go on, and then somebody says to you, I must find all the names I know. Sandra, you know, somebody tell me about you yesterday, no? And then he says this. I'm trying to be thankful. I'm really trying to be thankful, but somebody called me a toad. And then somebody says you suck. And then another person telling me, somebody talking about me. Then I go on to another person, and he says, this is your good friend. He whispered to your ears, hey, yesterday I saw your boyfriend with another girl. Really? So, okay, I trust in my boyfriend. I believe he will never be unfaithful. So he went on, and she went to see the boyfriend. Hey, I heard about this, but I trust in you. No, what you saw was correct. This girl is so much better than you, no. Then you look at him. Who is this girl? He says, it's someone you know. Someone you always talk to, and you share all your problems with. And he prays with you. At that very moment, how to be thankful? But you were thankful. You were thankful because you says, thank God for saving me before I get married to a toad, really toad, that he becomes unfaithful. It sounds like a very victorious Christian life to be thankful, right? But how do we attain that? How can we reach a stage on that, grow in that manner of being thankful, despite in this world where it's so competitive? And there's so much comparison going on. Because we know God did not make us be perfect. And yet, we want to say we want to be thankful. Thankful has to be truthful. Let's have this next one. Thankfulness is truthfulness. Being true to yourself and being true to the world is not a denial of the heartaches in this world. Am I right? We don't have to wait for the new heavens and new earth. Then we say there's no more tears, no more fears, and no more pain. We live in a world. In reality, there needs to be a truthfulness. The truthfulness, yes, despite the pain and despite the tears, I still can be thankful. And every song I sing to God, give praise to Him all throughout, you'll be thankful. It's gratefulness. It won't be a lie that I praise God with my hands lifted up and even in bended knees. When I walk out of this place, I say, where is God? Thankfulness has come from a place called thankfulness. Your tank has to be full. Correct? If your tank in your life, emotional health, is not there, then you find that your thankfulness is actually very superficial. So how do we have a life that is thankful despite being taken away a lot of things? I find it very hard at times to sing that 10,000 reasons. Have you ever sang that song before? The Lord give, the Lord take away. I say, if I do this every day, Lord give and Lord take away, I look at this God, you give me or you take it away. It's very hard. But yet, to be able to reach that point of my life where I enjoy God and say, thank you for taking it away, thank you for giving to me, that is called spiritual growth. It doesn't have to wait for you to be 60, 70 years old to be able to say that. So what I do this morning is, we will think along with me together. Begin by reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 to 15. Okay? I'd like to start with the last verse. Because as a Christian, the end goal of thanksgiving has to start from the giver. For 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, we read in Paul wrote regarding a church that gives out of extreme poverty, extreme persecution, oppression, and this church still can give joyfully, willingly. Why? How? Because their tank is full and they are truthful in their giving. It's not because they gave out of their wealth. They gave out an abundance of their grace that they received from God. So after the whole writing, you find that the last verse itself is praise. Thanks to God for this inexpressible gift. What is this gift that God has given you, deposit in your life that cannot be shaken, cannot be robbed, that every day you wake up, no matter what the world say about you, even your exams fail, you still can be joyful. It's this inexpressible gift. Let's read. Let's go to the verse 11. One more slide. Thank you. It says in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saint, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. I'm not doing deep Bible study. I realize cannot. Okay? So what I want you to look at is the highlight. You are enriched in every way. Does God lie? No. That's my final method. God is good all the time. He doesn't lie. His word, he doesn't lie. It's for me to discover. How does God enrich me in every way? To be generous in every way. Emphatic. Through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Interestingly, this thanksgiving word is eucharaste, which is Eucharist, which is actually what we always use to describe Holy Communion, right? Good grace, good thanks, good praise. You means for the mystery of this service is not supporting the needs. Not only you're giving, saying thank you is also giving, right? But overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. What does that mean? If I say thank you to Him, it's just not Him, but it's an overflowing thanksgiving all the way beyond. It's after all, I say thank you to you, I see Christ. And people see Christ. And that's the kind of life I want to have. It's not just a light blazing on me on the spotlight by saying thank you. It's like the Oscar Award, thank you from Genesis to Revelation. After that, everybody sees you and they see Christ. But my thanksgiving is overflowing and produce thanksgiving to God. How do we do that? Let's look at the next verse. The effect of it, by the approval of the service in their giving, they will glorify God because of you. What is in you? It's not because of abundance of wealth that you're able to give. You are gift so much that you are able to say thank you. No, it's because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. That is your inexpressible gift. Submit yourself to the gospel of Christ. And then the generosity of your contribution for them and for others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Our ability to give thanks comes from two sources, right? You look at it. Number one is the gospel. Secondly, is the grace of God. You are gathered here not because we want to come. I was behind earlier, trembling. Just tremble, new people. It's not by YA at school. I was so afraid that when I start talking, people start complaining. I said, never mind, Jesus is here. I was reminded, right there behind, the verse that I hold in my mind, memorized it in Hebrews 2:12. Jesus says this, I'm among my congregation, praising your name, which is the Father's name, and proclaiming his name, proclaiming the name of the Father among the brothers. I said, wow, I'm not here alone. You're not here alone. It's not just Jesus in the center and then all of us around him. But as you praise the Father, he's here with you. As you hear the word from the Bible, it's Jesus proclaiming to you, I'm only a donkey, always is. I have no names. So I pray that as we think through this Thanksgiving, we go through another slide. We see God as our giver. God as our giver. God gives abundantly, right? The previous verse says, those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, one of the verse. And then after that, it goes on to say, the God who gives you the seed, give you more seed to sow. And therefore, you're enriched in every way. So in your giving, you have more. You are able to give more and you become more generous, not because you have little to give, but because your tank is full. That fullness is not because your pocket is deep, but because you saw this God who supplies all your needs. I was thinking about this. There's a classic illustration that's always given about Thanksgiving, giving thanks. We always say we complain about our shoes, we have no new shoe to wear. Another one says, oh, my shoe has a hole with cardboard. Then the classic is, we look at another person and say, oh, this person has no food, I should be thankful. But I realize the Bible doesn't talk about like that. Because in comparison to people who are lesser than we are thankful, then I think it's horrible. It's really horrible. Because the Pharisees did the same thing. They're looking at the tax collector praying in pain. He says, wow, thank God I'm not like him. You know what I mean? But Thanksgiving is not because we compare with one another and say, I have and you don't have. I look at this church in Macedonia, this church that gives. It's out of their poverty, you know. They don't have enough, and yet they give because they believe God can supply their needs. It's a true story that has impressed me a lot, and I remember all the time. I have a youth from China. Then I was teaching in Nanyang Poly and also doing youth and young adults ministry. So one day, the church needs to raise funds for the church. Raise funds in Singapore is no fun, right? You know how much it is, right? But this church, this girl, she went back to her home, which is China, a poor church, countryside. And yet that church gave 400 and something, I can't remember the exact figure, to a rich church in Singapore, supposedly richer church than them, in Singapore. I said, wow, how can, we should be giving to them to build their church because they don't even have a church building. But they gave. Then I realized because they believe in the vision of this church that has blessed their daughter and wants this church to grow. That's a picture I see of a Macedonian church. They are willing to give and give because of a grateful heart and a thankful heart. We go to the next one. Can I have the next one? Because we see God as a giver before our giving. You're here giving the same principle as Thanksgiving. God is a giver. If I'm full tank, I'm grateful. I have this inexpressible gift of the gospel that I don't deserve. When I call on the name of Jesus, sorry, it's not so easy. You can be close. But at the same time, I don't deserve to call him Jesus, no. Because he gave himself for me so that I can be redeemed. My self-image is redeemed. What the world says about me, no longer cares, because one day I'll stand before him. Every day, hopefully, during quiet time, he says to me, I delight in you. You don't have to be perfect. You are good enough for me. And then God's speed is God's patience. It's not fast. God's speed is always patient. Grow with me. I saw this, somebody at art gallery have this cup, her birthday, I think it's NUS group or SMU group. I'm not perfect. But I'm of limited edition. Not bad, lah. Last time we learned is I'm not perfect because God is not finished with me yet. Well, I'm not limited or edition. So you're special in a sense. You're limited edition. You can't compare. None of us can compare one another on which track we want to be in. But we can. Thanks God. Thank God because God is our giver before we can give or even serve or even say thank you. Greater ability to be. What happened when God start to give and you start to give? Thanksgiving, the more you thank, you find that your heart of the gratitude grows. And then you will generate more ability to give because you no longer think about how much I have. You're looking at other people and say, I want to participate with God in enriching this person's life. Can it be done? Sure can, because I have a God who is big. I have this Myanmar pastor when we're in Bible college. He's actually very poor. Then every Chinese New Year, he must give us an ang bao. I said, Pastor Nionai, no need lah. You're Singaporeans rich enough. You know, he says to me, hey, my father owns 1,000 hills. Then bo pian, we're going to take, okay, thank you. He's a church, no? Then he shares about his church, about offering. You know, we usually give a loose change of what we can afford, right? He says his church is so poor. He works in the poorer area. And he says every weekend when they have the thanks, collecting offerings, they don't have cash because these are farmers. So what these farmers does is they take their rice because it's a paddy field, right? So they take their rice and they'll put an offering onto the offering bag. And then at the end of the day, it will be some rice. I don't know how big. I've not been there. And this is the rice that they offer to God, even in their poverty, in their strive to be self-sustaining, they give, and they give it to God to be used to enrich other people who can't afford. I see this amazing story. I think young people today can do more. Yeah. Then what is in your generosity, in your thanksgiving? It's not that I feel good, no, in giving, but the joy comes when you see God meeting the needs of other people through you. Amazing, right? I don't know. If you get a new pair of shoe, then I think I must think of who don't have shoe to wear? Why do I need another pair of shoe? Maybe, I don't know. Let's go on to the next slide. I don't know what's the next slide. Oh, okay. Let me tell you a story years ago. But it has this guy, Eddie Ogan. He actually wrote his testimony to amuse people, make people laugh. But in the end, it makes people muse. Muse means to think. He's 14 years old when he encountered this in a family. He's a family, a big family of 7 children. Single mother because the father was widowed. So one day he came to church about this size, about 80. And then the pastor says, let's save and during this Easter, which is very soon, we're gonna collect an offering and give it to the poorest family among us, in our church. Like, I don't know how big it's the church, okay, in our church. So this family went home with the mom and they're putting through in hardship. They say, no, we can also participate. So what they did is they buy a big sack of enough rice to eat, okay, or potatoes or whatever to eat. And then they thrift and they save. And even do handcraft to earn extra money. So at the end of the season, they saved about $70, make about $70. And they were so excited to go to church and give and participate in that giving. So they put in, I remember she wrote there, he changed the money from loose change to three $20 note and one $10 so all the children can participate in giving. So they were very happy. They gave, that day was collected. But then in the evening, they heard a knock on the door, the pastor came. And the pastor passed the money to them, $100. This is what they collected. And this family suddenly felt, I never knew we were the poorest. You know self-esteem, how it hurts, right? You think that you want to give, and yet you are considered the poorest. And the children dare not go to Sunday school anymore. They say, oh, people think we are poor. People think they are poor. And the mom is still trying to help. So how do we reconcile that? Okay, I left that about it. So they were struggling to go to church to be remembered as the poorest in the church. And they came to church, and then on that Sunday, there was a missionary sharing about giving again to build a church in Africa. And this family and the mom smiled and gave whatever the church gave, which is $80. The church collected $80, okay? They gave $70. And then put in the offering bag. In their mind, when they gave the when they had the $70, they were thinking, wow, if our family so poor can give $70, we must have collected a lot of money to give the poorest, right? But it was only $100. And then for this African missionary who came and they gave the money, now it's $80, right? They collected $70, $80, $100. They put it in, they think that they will collect at least $1,000, right? To build for church planting. No, they were the richest. They collected only $150. So the families were very happy, not because the money they gave is more or less, because they gave with a cheerful heart. They gave willingly, knowing that they have abundance in Christ. How do we attain that? Let me go on to the next slide. Because our giving and our thanksgiving begin by recognizing that it's God's grace in us, and we're extending that grace to others. It's not bootlicking, it's not just a courtesy word to say thank you. But it is something that God's grace that we undeserved, that I should receive this inexpressible gift from God who wants to die, who is willing to die for me. You know, who am I? I really think like, who am I? He should die for me, right? Who am I that he should love me and pull me to himself and say, you are my beloved child? Who am I to say, God, you chose me to serve you? Who am I to say that, God, I have a good voice to sing for you and a best band? I say, sorry. These are God's gifts. If I serve with grace, then I don't have to put down another person to say that, we can sing better. There's no comparison and there's no competition because all voice belongs to God. No matter how good or how bad, we just serve with that grace that God gives us. And then as we extend that grace to other people, we realize that being generous is an outflow of the abundance, not of our wealth, but of righteousness in Christ. God is the one who makes us righteous. You read the chapter for yourself. I didn't want to go into it because it's something that's still in my mind. The end product of thanksgiving and giving is not you get more, no. The more is called a harvest of righteousness. I'm trying to understand, what is this harvest of righteousness in this chapter they are talking about? So this one you bring home and study because you are all clever people, okay? Then we look at it. As much as I'm satisfied and generous, then, generosity itself, my heart, in my heart, is not shortchanged. I won't feel shortchanged, but I feel satisfied. And this satisfaction is what we call a gratitude. Every Christian with the thanksgiving, that's the end goal. The end goal is this gratitude is a pathway of our spirituality to Christ. Can I have the next slide? Gratitude, saying thank you, don't make it a cliche, but having a gratitude realign us to the giver and increase his activity in my lives. The more I give, is I want to align myself to Christ. It's not that everybody I give, I can, if I'm rich enough, I give everybody, it's easy, but I don't have. But I saw God's grace. I saw God using me to be able to minister to other people. I should be joyful and grateful. It increased God's ability in my life, and then gratitude begets humility, which begets God's grace. You see what I mean? The more you give, the more you see God's grace in your life, and then it's given to other people's life. Gratitude is not easy, as I began earlier. Saying thank you is easy. Staying thankful can be easy. Can be easier. It means every day we bounce back, put our own, come back. But be thankful in all circumstances at all times, which the Bible teaches us. It's a practice. Practice means what? Hard work, right? Correct? Practice. 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 It's a growth in depth. Then you find that you don't have to do things on the superficial to be affirmed. But you can grow deep. Why? Because in our mind, we are not thinking of who to say thank you to. It starts with God, who is the giver. I want to think about his love every day as I wake up. I look in the mirror, it's not whether I have one more pimple or two more dimples. Okay? What I want is, I want to think about his love. And I look to him in the mirror, which is the worship itself. I think about his goodness. The goodness of God that I don't deserve. I'll think about his grace. His grace that every day I can bring us through, no matter what storms, he brings us through. Old song, but new song. As he sings, it will be slow. I want you to think about God's love. As you think about God's love, change it. Not just think, but turn it into a thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens is from the earth, so great is the measure of our Father's love. No one can rob the Father's love from us. Right? Can we? Yeah, we do.
About this love.
Let's bow and just think bow and about allow him to
minister to us. Think about his grace that brought us through.
Father, we thank you for your grace.
For as high as the heaven the birth, it's the greatest measure of our Father's love. Greatest measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness.
Why don't we stand?
Think about his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love.
the measure of our Father's love.
How could I forget?
How can I forget His love? How could I forget His mercy? He satisfies my desire.
Think about His love.
Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that brought us through. Far as high as heaven above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.